IPSE leads the way.
IPSE.
One system, personnel, and pay.
IPSE.
21st century.
IPSE.
Total force visibility online.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the IPSE podcast. Our podcasts are where soldiers have in-depth discussions on HR transformation, Army modernization, and the changes coming to the total force in December of 2021. We've been joined in the past by a variety of experts, but today's episode will feature something different. We've assembled a team of three Army captains from the AG career field, and they're here to ask some fun and challenging questions. They're sassy and sarcastic, hopped up on Rippets and Mountain Dew, and on behalf of the 1.1 million soldiers they represent, they're here to get the facts. Their opponent is Colonel Gregory Johnson, functional, management, modernization, mastermind, and IPSE chief. His objective is to field as many questions as possible before we run out of time. Getting straight facts and ready to rumble. Our three captains are Marisha McLean, undefeated training and YouTube webinar sensation. Ali Akani, student of the dark arts of talent and strength management. And Max Brugler, a relative newcomer to the Release 3 team. He's got heart and skill, but can the new guy survive three rounds with Hurricane Johnson? We're about to find out. Colonel Johnson, sir, please step into the ring. Give us a hype pitch and pick your first challenger for this episode of Captains Asking Questions. Over to you.
Frank, you're on fire today. I appreciate that that intro. I was running down the aisles, and I'm in the ring now. The only comment I would say up front is that I think these three are experts in their own fields and their own areas. So I think this is going to be an exciting podcast episode that we're looking forward to getting into. I'm moving back and forth. I think we need to start with Captain Marisha McLean and get this thing going.
Ooh, so I get to start us off. So thank you, sir, for that. So first question I'm going to ask is, are you an Atropia campaign veteran, sir?
Am I? Myself personally, an Atropia. Oh, yes. I mean, yes, but I did an exercise at ILE that included Atropia, so not a expert at the NTC or JRTC. I think that's a good question. Most people in the Army are Atropia, campaign vets. Ollie, did you go and fight?
Oh, I fought, sir. I fought many a time.
I fought a little hard.
Korea means you don't really get to do much else. And then when I finally got to Fort Carson, I think part of the cab, we went to Atropia about four times. So tried and true. I definitely have gone to Atropia, and that's the only place I've gone, unfortunately.
That's pretty good. Marisha, what about you?
Oh, I spent some time in Atropia, sir. I mean, I've been in a few different places. I think Atropia was probably the most interesting. We spent a lot of time there, it seems like, across the military. So yeah. They're always doing something.
Well, yeah, and let's not, we're making a joke of Atropia. I mean, I've been in three divisions, right? So we're always doing warfighters, multiple warfighters, and then deploying and doing the real thing. From an exercise standpoint, I've definitely been in a lot of different types of exercises. Even in ILE, we did a GAT scenario, which was, Azerbaijan, Armenia, the Iranians, that whole complex arena there. Max, what about you? Relative newcomer to the IPSE team.
Sir, as a ex-scout, I spent a lot of time in an OP on Mount Tiefert. Reconnoitering the whale gap, early detection. Bronze star with valor, no big deal.
That's
a Tropian campaign medal.
That's pretty good. So you guys are experienced, just like a lot of us. Yeah. Well, I think the key though is you guys bring something to the table on, you know, how are you going to execute real world missions, you know, with something like IPSAE? You know, you're all on the IPSAE team now and you all have your different pieces that you're thinking through. But I think it's key for folks out in the field to know that, you know, we're not in just this, you know, the five-sided puzzle palace, you know, Pentagon thinking up things, you know, from a Pentagon perspective. But we're really, we're trying to take these operational approaches. And then how do you shape this capability that we're given to the Army, you know, the best for, you know, HR professionals, commanders, soldiers, all that kind of stuff.
No, absolutely, sir. And like one of the, you know, key pieces of going to Atropia or any one of those like training scenarios or exercises was the austere kind of environment that we were forced to work in. You know, as HR professionals, I feel like one of our biggest challenges is how do we do our job in these environments where connectivity is extremely limited or we don't have it at all, you know, for an unspecified period of time. And it really kind of stresses our manual processes. So, you know, another question to follow up with about being a veteran is how does it say support us in those environments where we are going to be operating kind of an austere scenario, sir?
Yeah, is that the best you got? Atropia followed by austere environments.
You know, something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's probably a few ways to answer that. You know, up front, it's web-based. So if you get a signal, you can connect, right? So that's kind of one piece of the answer. The other is to try and make this more user-friendly. You know, we got into a discussion with Army, big Army, and changed policy to enable, you know, self-service users or even commanders to get on the system in a couple of different ways, either from a commercial network or from the government network, but then also on their personal mobile devices or their government mobile devices. And then if you need to like get in the system to do actions and things, you just have to connect, you know, with a CAC card. So what we've seen in the Guard is, you know, elements deployed to Poland or Kuwait or other places, and then they've been able to connect back to their states and do their workflow and whatnot. What's coming is we have on the back end of our delivery schedule, right? And our delivery schedule lasts until 2030. You know, there's plans to deliver capability, you know, every year as we move forward. And we have the requirement to do disconnected ops. So then if you're in a challenging environment, or a contested environment, you know, tied to, you know, major combat operations, you know, you'll be able to do certain things like, you know, casualty reporting, strength management, replacements, that kind of stuff. Now that's coming though. That's not in release 3. We got to get release 3 out to the Army first. And then the disconnected ops will come, you know, later. So we thought about it and we put it in the requirements. So that's a win. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to facilitate actions right now, it's, you know, moving policy to the side and getting, you know, soldiers to be able to use their personal mobile devices and whatnot. Ollie, you got something to say. I can feel it.
You can feel it, sir. So disconnected ops, like we keep talking about it, sir, and it seems like it's down the pipeline. So I mean, is there, in your opinion, do you really think, like, what do you think is going to be the biggest thing we get done in that arena as far as being able to use IPSAE in that environment? Because we hear it all the time. People are, oh, what if I'm at the, you know, in the middle of NTC, how am I going to get, like, am I really looking at my leave stuff from there? So I was curious, like,
well, but, what your but take if you're, on it was. Yeah, I think it's a good question. But I mean, if you're in the fight, you're not dealing with leave forms, right? So you got to cut this other non-essential stuff out. And, you know, Atropia teaches you anything, it's about combat power. And it's about casualty reporting and it's about replacements, right? Yeah, and there really is nothing else going on, you know, while you're in the middle of that, you know, dogfight. you might have rear elements, connected to whatever your unit is, thinking about some of that other stuff. But in reality, you're just talking about those couple of things, which is going to consume your time as a G1 HR, S1 HR specialist, whatnot. Our approach with disconnected ops is, hey, we had to build the requirement. So I'll get a bit acquisition on you. We had to build the requirement into the program. And when we did that, we went out and looked at companies who were doing this already. Mm-hmm. So what's fascinating is that PeopleSoft is naturally able to connect to a software package that allows disconnected ops.
Right.
And there's a lot of small boutique-y companies that have built that capability out. And we went and visited a bunch of them. And, these small companies are doing work for the CIA or major oil companies that have people, offshore in the middle of Africa, in places that it's not easy to get to. And what they did is just create a little software patch. Packet, whatever the word is. And, it allows them to go in and do work. And then when they come back to a signal, that information flows up. So the capability is there. It's just, in our development timeline, it's like, hey, guys, gals, we have priorities. To get every component into the system. All million people using the same system and doing HR and talent. And then do payroll,
right?
And get first things first, done, and then you can move on to some of these other things. So, I don't know, Max, what do you want to throw at me?
Yeah, Roger, sir. So I was just thinking in my head, thinking about NTC. I think there's just going to be a higher priority on getting those networks up, working properly at the talks at the battalion squadron. And then with the brigade, it's just going to be another planning element of where to put that signal company, make sure that's more of a priority. Because we know we've been there where sometimes the network, it's just one S6 soldier putting it up and putting the queen up and getting everything ready. I think it's going to be a priority of planning for systems like IPSA, GCSS Army, and just for the systems in the future that continue to get upgraded for more data centric. So,
well, the other thing about NTC prep, we are rolling out a training database. We call it the operational training database that allows any unit, any HR professional, G1, S1, play around with IPSA and then to do transactions. And we're already starting to talk to the folks in the training base on, hey, how would they use that? Not just in the schoolhouse, but in scenarios like in these training environments or at your home station, going field duty or something to that effect. Are you playing around and testing your skill sets in this, quasi sandbox?
Yeah.
So we roll that out, that capability out to use. And then like a lot of things, I think it'll take some time for people to morph to, what's delivered. It's a big change. There is no system today, right? You can use it to exercise your 90 casualties you're getting each day.
90.
That brings me back cognitive. <Yeah. memories. laughs> Had some casualty losses like that for sure.
Yeah, it would certainly be a shock to the system to take that many casualties, let alone break combat power. That's why as we thought through what would you want in disconnected ops, it's really the things that matter most. It's not your leaf forms, it's not your awards. It's how do you actually do casualty reporting, strength management, combat power kind of stuff. Which is what you need to do to sustain the fight.
Absolutely, sir.
Yeah, it sounds like if you really think about it. So you kind of answer the question, sir, where when people throw that buzzword out, like, how am I going to do this out in the field? But when you talk through it, it sounds like, when you really think through it, we have it covered. And Max pointed out all the different things that we have to consider as we do it, but a lot of folks aren't thinking about that when they throw that question out there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And practically speaking, if you go to your local training area, you know, do you have a signal? Yeah. So if you have a signal, the answer is you'll be able to connect to IPSE.
Right. Yes, right? Sir.
If you want to, right. You know, you can use the field as an excuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you are trying to be entrepreneurial and aggressive and taking care of your unit, you can connect a whole host of, you know, different ways. You can set your VSAT up and use that if you wanted to. But if you have a signal, right, off of your personal mobile device, iPad, your personal computer, your government computer.
Yes.
If you have that access, then you can get into IPSE. And continue to do work. And I'm not sure we've ever really done that before. In today's environment, I don't think your access is an email PO, you know, sitting in the training area at Fort Hood. You're doing that.
Just BFT messages and paper math. paper math.
EFT. Jeez.
Whiteboards. Yeah.
You're probably on your phone, you know, messing around on the internet, but you're not tying into EMOPO.
True.
So, and your guys are captains. You guys have been there. I don't know. I don't do that kind of thing.
You've been a captain before too, sir. Just, you know.
You remember those days?
Been a while. Just been a while.
That was so long ago. I didn't even have an iPhone. I don't think they were invented yet.
Had to buy minutes on the track phone.
Yeah. Did you have like a beeper back then? Was that like
it was
yeah, the beep when it's like an emergency.
I think it was the deputy Colonel Eggers who had the beeper. I had a flip phone and I certainly didn't use it much.
I got
so hi Ollie, what you got? Question.
I guess so. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but it plays into it, sir. You know, what is the biggest misconception you think people have about IPSE, or you know, what are them?
That's easy
misconceptions. Oh, easy,
easy question.
Easy question. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's the obvious one. Is this dimers?
There
you go. There you go. That's dimers. The biggest misconceptions.
Dimers. And gotcha.
What's amazing? I'm glad I shocked you guys. I'm glad I shocked you. Guys. What this is the most confounding thing in the AG Corps, right? That I would go out and speak to a mixed group, lieutenants, captains, you know, sergeants, and someone will bring up dimers, and it's like, whoa! I don't think you were born when dimers, right? When dimers failed. But you're thrashing me on dimers. So I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. There's this legacy that the HR Corps completely failed, right? Did not get this done. Lots of people throw hate our way. And so folks go, this must be like that, right? Yeah. And to a certain extent, it has taken a long time. Right. Dimers kind of stopped in 2007-08 and then IPSE was born. But then that, you know, the Army kind of is spun in circles on the requirements for this program for a long time. And we really didn't get start building IPSE release 2 until, you know, the 2015-16 timeframe. So, yeah. You know, the misconception is that this, since it's taken so long, it's just like dimers and it's just going to fail. And you know, I'm here to say, hey, there's a lot of differences between us and dimers. You know, the first is that we've already seen extreme success, right? Mm-hmm. Release 2's out,
yeah,
330,000 National Guardsmen. So you know, I mean, MRSA is doing training on all kinds of release 2 stuff. We've already destroyed that idea that this is dimers. Like dimers didn't do anything, it didn't get off the ground. We have a functioning HR system for the entire National Guard. And, you know, we're about 12 months out from putting the reserves and the active into release 3 and then just continuing to go forward. So I think that's the biggest one. The other comment I would say about that, you know, the chief will say this, you know the difference between dimers and ipsay? And, you know, every time he says that, I go, sir, what? And he says, me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes, him.
He's driving us. Open it.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means. You guys do. But for the, you know, for the audience, it's the senior leaders are completely invested. I think that's the difference. So yes. When Dimers ran into problems in 2006, 2007, there was no champion inside the Army that said, we have to do this. Whereas right now, you got the entire senior leadership of the Army saying, we must do this. And ipsay is not just an HR thing for the Army senior leaders. It's a means to modernize and change our HR processes to, right, a talent management process or a talent management system.
Yeah.
So it's a much greater push by those senior leaders to get this done to help us modernize. And you know, you've heard me tell you guys, you know, we're in test. If we ran into problems in test, we would just be pummeled by the senior leaders to fix them and keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, right. The question is, hey, we're not going to fail and not do release three. It's you know, we're going to be monitored very closely by senior leaders so we can get the work done to get this out to the Army. So,
sir, hot take. So does that mean too big to fail?
Well, I just think there's too big to fail is probably not the right terminology. I think this is an Army priority. Army priorities don't fail.
Nice.
There you go.
I tried.
Army priorities don't fail. The senior leaders get around and they say, do this. Let's focus, give the resources, and then, you know, get this done. You know, so I early on, I mean, most people have heard this story. I went to General Combo when he was the G1 and said, sir, I need talent on the team. This is a massive project and we need data talent, coding talent, captain talent, right? Yeah. We need talent on the team to push this forward. And then we need experience in PeopleSoft and civilian ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. And so I came with two plans. I said, boss, here's where I think we can pull in technical talent to help. Right. All you came from that request. Right.
Yeah.
And then Max and Marisha, I also asked General Conville to help develop TWI, you know, the training with industry program with PeopleSoft companies that are running PeopleSoft. And you guys are products of that program. I mean, all three of you are products of me asking the chief when he was the G1 to help us. And you know, you guys went through programs, or in your case, all of you got sucked into the program.
That's dangerous. Sucked in.
Bam. But you know, it's fascinating. So Ollie, I'll riff a little bit about Ollie, embarrass him. And then
thanks, sir.
I can embarrass you and Max later.
I'm easy.
You know, yeah. I wish people could see the pictures of you guys and what you're wearing. You know, you got special hats on today.
I'm glad they can't.
back to Ollie's history. So Ollie's like a what are you, a psychology major?
I'm a psych undergrad and I'm a American Legal Studies graduate level guy, sir.
Yeah, and you went to VCU, which I'm a fan of. But if you just looked at your record, right, you'd be like, oh, okay, he's whatever, average,
right? Definitely. I would.
I mean, I have a history degree, so I got the same thing. If someone look at my degree and go, oh, history, what the heck? But what you don't know about Ollie is his dad was like this computer science guru, right? He taught at, I don't know, Berkeley or something. That's the legend, right? You know, and you grew up in an environment that, you know, really focused you on learning some of those things about computer science and coding and whatnot. And so it kind of comes as second nature to you and it's a hobby, but it's not tracked anywhere in your record.
Yeah.
Right. So I ran across Ollie at the career course and he was one of those captains in the audience just pelting me with, you know, hard questions. Yeah. You know, is this thing going to work? You know, are you thinking about cybersecurity? Are you, exactly. you know, Do you think PeopleSoft is the right software baseline? Do you, you know, are you smart enough, sir, to do this?
Didn't say that smart enough thing. Just officially,
everything else.
Everything else he said was true. That, you know,
First off, that's like the first thing that pops into most captains' minds. You know, hey, this guy's smart enough to be doing this. But you were asking all these questions, and I'm like, man, you probably need to be on this team because you're thinking in the right way. You're asking the hard questions. You're really chewing on how do we modernize this thing. But anyway, you brought a talent and a skill set that allowed us to then go find additional talent in the data sphere. And, you know, when I went to General McConville and said, boss, we need help. We need technical talent. And he said, okay, pull it into the team, pull it onto the team. Ollie was kind of the central point of helping to vet out who was serious and who wasn't. Because again, people say they can do things sometimes, but then, you know, reality hits.
Yeah.
And you may not be able to. I think that was one of the game changers of this program. Is that we were able to bring in about 15 data-focused experts and really go after all things from data correctness to how the data flows in the system to how the data mapping works in the system, and then get into this real discussion with HRC about how they have to construct, essentially their data warehouse and structure their data. Yeah. To interact with other elements. But anyway, that's a long circle back to that original comment, Ollie. I'm going to move away from you because you keep asking me these zingers.
That's one.
Marisha, what do you got another one? I mean, we keep Max out of it too because he's going to ask me something mean.
Well, so here's something that's just completely to the left of what we've talked about so far. How would you explain it, say, to a group of 5-year-old children?
Mm. That's a hard one.
Well, it's all about simplicity from my mind, but, you know.
And just know my 5-year-old's pretty good with the mobile device.
Oh, yes. They're getting smarter every day.
Yes.
So they're probably all on them right now, so I can't hear.
So I think. You know, Max, maybe we gotta ask this question after the fact and see how I do here. I might get knocked down on this one, but I think I would say it's a super database that puts all million people in the Army into one system to do HR and pay. I mean, obviously talent and all that other stuff, but I think most 5-year-olds would be like, yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
And it makes sense, sir. I mean, I think that's a great answer because one of the things that I think a lot of us don't realize is how much of a complex problem IFSE is really solving. And sometimes we just have to be reminded that simple solution of why we're doing what we're doing is we are combining a lot of systems for a lot of people into one. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great answer.
all components. Yeah, sir. My 5-year-old would be thrilled.
She'll be so excited.
I think we have like an Ibsen's episode that kind of says that. See, so I cheated. I had that answer from that Ibsen's episode. I think for a lot of people, they ask me, so not 5-year-olds, but even senior people, right? Hey, why does it take so long? And I just go, hey, have you seen our architecture today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the HR, IT, and data infrastructure. And, you know, most people haven't. So I go, okay, let me walk you through. 200 personnel and pay systems. In the National Guard, they had a thing called SIDPERS, which was literally put in play in 1983. It was upgraded, you know, so you didn't have to use floppy disks like I had to use when I was a second lieutenant in my first job. And we're talking the big floppy disks.
The big the five. Oh wow!
That's how I played Oregon Trail
in real life.
That's right, Oregon Trail, not the reboot, but the original version. You know, and 54 different versions. So it's you know, again, just think about this. So we let every state and territory upgrade it on its own.
Yeah.
And they made small tweaks. Then you go in the active and we're no better. EDAS, TopMiss, EmailPo, all three not synced. Then there was a layer of other things that we called the Total Army Personnel Database, but none of them were authoritative on top of that, right? And then you had an architecture tied even with the GAR or with the reserves, different systems. So literally it could take up to 2 weeks to figure out how many, you know, whatever female captains there are in the Army. And then all that data is unstructured, right? Certainly in different formats.
Yes, sir.
And then we did not solidify what the authoritative data source is, right? Okay. So that's the data in IT architecture. You know, I would argue that, you know, that's great people trying to do good things along the way without technical talent tied to a lot of that stuff. You know, that's the outcrop of it. But then even in our policies, right? You know, how many 4187s are there, guys?
Too many, sir.
Tons.
Too many. Just way too many.
It's the go-all.
Right? So we're trying to streamline that. So now we're trying to do it workflow in the system and then think through what are all the authorities for that? Who's doing the work? You know, how do I get it all into this system? How do I bring all this data into the system? And then how do I ask people to change that have been doing certain things for a long time? Right. It's complex. I mean, it's your classic, you know, change management, you know, case study, I think. And how do you do all that work? And modernize this big institution called the Army. And you know, for me, it's like, you know, bits and pieces. It's like, okay, get the technical talent in. Let's get people exposed to how civilian companies and corporations are doing things. Let's slowly but surely, you know, deliver more and more capability. Let's really go after analytics. So let's get us to the 21st century in analytics. You know, maybe read some books on analytics and figure out where we need to go, structure the data, get folks using this thing, you know, use mobile phones, and then force transparency. That's a big one for me, force transparency. Like why are decisions being made? Where are actions? For me, that's just more and more important as you get, you know, younger generations in. You know, that you just are open and honest with, you know, the way things are and how things are running. I found that to be extremely important for, you know, for you guys in particular, right?
That's true, sir.
Absolutely. We want to know where our stuff is. You know, our generation's very much kind of a right now type of, you know, feel. So if they can just open an app, check it out, and this is what it say, you know, provides, you can open and see where everything you submit is located, who has it, how long it's been with them. That's the transparency I think a lot of people should be excited about.
Yeah. And, you know, for a long time, it's just not been that way. Here's a counter. So, you know, Max, I don't know what you think, but I've been asked by other captains, you know, hey, I'm a little worried that with this automated workflow that, you know, people are going to be asking me to do stuff late at night and you know, connecting us to the system. You know, hey, my day's never going to end. I don't know. What do you think?
Sir, I know I would much rather have a question late at night and be able to answer in a minute or two where someone's, you know, PCS, ETS, Lee form is, or who's waiting for a signature, rather than, you know, those 1700, someone's coming up, you know, I'm going on leave tomorrow. I don't have my DA-31 back. So I think that, and, you know, it being deployed to the rotational in Europe and Germany, we tried gears and that worked for a little bit, but I think this is just going to have so much more capability, and I think it's just going to make everything, like Marisha mentioned, just you can see right now. You don't have to go hunt it down, and then, you know, you can apply the pressure on the right personnel to get that through the workflow and complete it on time, rather than, oh, hey, let me hand walk this up to whoever to wet sign, and then let me do the transaction and so forth. So I'm excited coming out of this program, you know, potentially being a Brigade S1, I look forward to having this as a potential something to use in the future. So pretty excited.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with everything you just said there. You know, first off, it's like, okay, cut to the chase. I think HR folks work pretty hard and long as it is, trying to make everything work, trying to take care of people. I think for the most part, you know, people may complain about the HR and the S1, but at the end of the day, I don't know, my experience, HR, G1s, S1s, they're working their butts off and already putting a lot of time in trying to take care of people. But it's like a level setting capability, IPSE is in my mind, because right now people can just say it's with the S1. Mm-hmm. Well, what's with the S1? Right. Well, I dropped it off with the S1. Well, who did you drop it off with in the S1?
The golden question.
It got kicked back last week.
I did it 2 weeks ago. It's in the S1. It's Max. Max is the guy. He's on it.
That's
right.
Always 2 weeks ago. Always that's 2 weeks ago.
It's in my top desk.
Ollie doesn't even show up in the office. I know it's on his desk in a blue folder. underneath all that other paperwork. So with IPSE, guess what?
Yeah.
I know when the action gets to the S1 pool. I know when the action gets to the company commander. I know if it's up in the chain, you can figure it out, and you can manage it in a way that we've never been able to manage it before. For me, that's, I think over time, that will be a level setting, you know, capability that you're not running around asking, you know, I don't know how much time I wasted as a G1 just asking people where the heck's the, you know, the awards packet. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to gain time back there. And then to your point, I think most, you know, really good HR folks will just jump in the system, answer a question, and then move on. That's exciting too, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the other cool things about the system is, you know, we have the automations in place, and then, you know, even to help out the commander's aspect of it, you know, we have dashboards and, like you said, analytics to support all of these transactions. So, you know, for HR professionals, it makes it easy for us to be able to quickly, you know, respond to a commander's inquiry. But there's also tools that commanders didn't have in, you know, these other systems that they're now having IPSE to look at the same information we're providing, you know, when they need it. And I think that's going to be very useful to our population of users.
That's big.
Well, and it'll be a change, though, too. I talked to a bunch of folks at the AG Schoolhouse a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I just say, hey, it's a change. Don't kid yourself. This is a change. Yeah. You need to pay attention in training, and because it's such a different process. It's such a different scenario, right? And you as the HR professional will be the person who needs to make this thing sing in your units, in your brigades, in your divisions. All this will come as you get familiar with the system and you understand how to workflow works and how you understand the S1 pool and then the capabilities of strength and the marketplace and all that. But don't kid yourself. This is going to be, it's going to be a hard lift, and we got to go after it. And then I always tell people too, it's not going to be perfect. I mean, these are big systems with lots of data. You know, the first couple of weeks will be rough as we go live, and you know, you just got to be all hands on deck, you know, as we start get, you know, moving on release 3.
A little bit of friction, but a lot of good to gain.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right. Max, what else you got?
Sir, so a question a bit out of left field, but appropriate as we record this podcast over Teams. So our current remote home quarantine work environment has been a really unprecedented time period. And the IPSE team and the Army as a whole has had to be very agile. So are there any aspects of our current environment that you'd actually like to see the Army adopt and use in the future? And then second part to that question, what are some of the future capabilities of IPSE that you would have liked to have during this period that would have been helpful to both soldiers and HR professionals?
You probably have to help me. That's like a 7-part question.
So my thoughts for, you know, are there certain things that we've adapted to using in this scenario that you'd like to become a standard operating procedure in the future?
Well, I think we've learned an awful lot just by using Teams. You know, I think about talent, accessibility of talent, and then in our case, we're in this knowledge base arena, right? You're developing a system, you're thinking through policies, you're doing data work, we're trying to transform some organizations. I think COVID and the shift to our connecting with MS Teams, we haven't really slowed down. I think we've been able to continue our work, and in some cases we've gotten more efficient because folks are doing their work from their locations. Maybe they would, I don't know, take more breaks in the office or get sidetracked with folks. In our case, I think we've gotten more efficient in what tasks we're executing and whatnot, but you can't get more efficient without something like Teams. Mm-hmm. This has allowed us to plug in, record things, share things. So from a knowledge management perspective, it's been very interesting. It's opened my eyes that it's probably okay to use talent that are in different locations. Mm-hmm. Whereas I very much was really focused on, hey, if you're on the team, you got to be kind of with us in DC. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, this has opened my eyes in how we can utilize folks from different locations for different periods of time. It really get more, more options on the table for this type of work moving forward. Certainly on the civilian side too, like. Right. If I'm running HRC in the future, I don't know, maybe you have talent in different places. You have talent in Indianapolis. You have talent at Futures down in Austin. You have talent in DC. You got talent, somewhere else. You know, all tied to that physical location. My mind's really been open to that possibility and those different, courses of action. Based on how we've operated. The other thing is that, like, we run a lot of different forums. Like we have this MilPay huddle where we bring senior leaders together, and we still executed those.
Yeah.
But on Teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not all getting up and moving, flying to some place, spending a lot of money. We're executing, you know, in this distributed manner. And while you probably lose something from the sidebar discussions, you also didn't spend all that money. So, you know, as you move forward, as the Army moves forward, I think this is, you know, has kind of shown that there's alternatives to how we were operating.
New options.
Yeah. So also, as I think through IPSA and HR in general, like, so IPSA is going to allow a soldier to use CRM, right? Mm-hmm. To put forward, concerns, issues with their file or whatnot. What if you married that up with what we're doing right now? You can link in to your soldiers virtually and talk through whatever their problems are. They don't have to come in physically, you know, to your location. And, you know, again, my ideas on that have really been driven by the Guard. We've moved into COVID, and the Guard HR folks didn't have to come into the armory to work off of SIDPERS. They stayed at their, you know, their living room couches and had access to IPSA, and they're doing their work, you know, remotely. And in some cases, they're doing like SRPs remotely using the system. And just making it happen. And we've given them a capability to really change it up based on their, you know, them being innovative. And, you know, there's just a lot of options here, I think.
And sir, I'm going to sound really stupid here, but maybe just to clarify for everybody else, CRM, we're not talking about composite risk management. We're talking about the customer relation module of IPSA, right? Because I don't think CRM is something folks out in the field know just yet.
Well, thanks for pointing that out, Ollie.
I had to, sir. I had to, because people are just gonna nod and be like, "Aha!" And then, and then they get done with the podcast. Like, what did he say? What is he talking about?
He's speaking in a different language. I'm sorry.
No.
So CRM is like, if you're a soldier, you can get into IPSA and then put a help ticket. CRM is like a help ticket. Yeah. So you go into CRM and you say, "Hey, my name has changed. Here's the whatever marriage certificate. Changing my name to this. It's S1 guys, gals. Change my name." And it's routed in the system to the S1. So then that can be updated in their profile in the system. So that's, you know, same thing with actions. Hey, I want to be reassigned to this, or I want to compete for this. You can do that in the system and then route that to your S1.
Yeah.
So I think we're at this kind of cusp where we really can operate differently based on ideas. You literally don't need a soldier to come to your S1 anymore.
Well, and sir, on that note, I think there's, with CRM, there's going to be a bit of a change in mentality. As you said, I think there's going to be, you know, less of that soldier to HR relationship where they're sitting in the office waiting their turn to discuss a problem and they can put in their case through the system. But then on the same note, I think as a battalion S1, brigade S1, you're going to have to implement some of that time during the day. And I know the joke is the S1 shop's always closed, but you're going to have some time where you have your HR soldiers in the system responding to some of those CRM requests. And so just a bit of a mentality switch. I think that's going to have to come with that, but I think it's going to be great.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. Like, you know, I'll give you a war story from 1ID, which is the best division in the Army, if you guys didn't know.
Best division
in the Army.
Got it, sir.
Woo! Big red one. Anyway, I used to have, one of the ADCs always ask battalion commanders, you know, who their email poll clerk was. And so, you know, my favorite ADC was General Swindell. He's now in the G3, but I'd be like, "Hey, sir, please ask when you go out on, you know, battlefield circ, ask this question to your battalion commander." And then it was like, "Hey, number one, who's your email poll clerk?" And then number two question, "How much time do you protect for that email poll clerk to do their work?" And it only took like a week. And I have battalion commanders calling me. Going, "Greg, what are you telling General Sandel?" Because he is like ripping me up about my email poll clerk.
Yes.
But very quickly after that, all of a sudden, everybody knew who their email poll clerks were. Right. Yeah. And if they didn't have the other thing, Max, if they didn't have an email poll clerk, all of a sudden they had an email poll clerk, because that's the other finding I had, is that some S1s in battalions were not setting time up, you know, protecting time to do all those actions. So this is the same thing with IPSA, but it needs, you know, on a broader scale. Yes, it's, sir, like you have this staff in a battalion and a brigade. You really, as an S1, need to protect time for folks to work things in the system. You just have to. You got to go with an approach that they need to be in X amount of time a day, and then protect those people from taskings, right? And because that was my point to who he was, the M at the time, General Swindell. I said, "Yeah, so everybody gets their fair share of taskings in these units. But if you're going to protect anybody in your S1 shop, it should probably be the kid who needs to do all the accountability, all the, the arrivals, all the duty status changes, all of that." Well, all of that becomes much more important in IPSA as HR now drives pay.
Yeah. Pay.
Right. So fun story. I certainly got some heat from some battalion commanders, but
just a little bit.
But part of being an HR guy is telling people what they should be doing.
Well, I kind of wish I had that in some of my units, because it was real easy for them to, you know, pull folks from my shop. And it's like, hey, now we don't have anybody to, you know, action needs requests. And, you know, and that's one, I think, one of the most frustrating things sometimes about being at the battalion. And even I'm sure at the brigade level is protecting your time and commanders putting that emphasis. But like you said, we have the chief of staff that is, you know, fully supporting it, saying what we're doing. So maybe that'll change for a lot of, you know, battalion S1s where their commanders start to focus more on their HRs, especially for December 2021.
Yeah.
That was a softball. What else you got, Paul?
So, sir, I was going to ask, like, why is IPSAE taking so long? But I feel like you've subtly answered that question throughout this whole time here. So I'm going to try and throw you a curveball here. What part do we have to absolutely get right? Because, I mean, December 21, so next year we're going to be going live. What part do we absolutely have to get correct for R3 for us to be able to go live?
Well, I mean, we got to get through testing. I mean, that's there's probably a lot of key things we got to get right to go live. First and foremost, the program has to get through its testing, right? So you got to get through the testing to validate that the system works before we go live. So that's one thing. The program's going to take care of that. I think the second piece is, hey, folks need to focus on data. There's a lot of learning that needs to happen, but I mean, if units are really focusing on data with their soldiers and doing their best to correct and make sure the right data is in just a couple of systems. If you're in the active duty, it's email PO, and then what's sitting in DTMS, then you're going to be okay as we transition that data into IPSAE when we go live. So that's a key thing for them that they really need to get right for us. And then I would say as we get into December, right, there's going to be a brownout period and then a go live. And then, right, first week of IPSAE.
That's true.
Right. So we're just going to have to work through that. That's not going to be easy. You know, where you're putting actions in EMOPO and other systems. We're going to provide some detailed guidance on what to do during that time, and then when we go live, right, you got some work to do up front to pull that information in. But you know, we picked December for it very deliberately. There's less accessions, there's less actions, there's less movement.
Okay.
Yes, there's a lot of leave, but we'll have a game plan for that. But we deliberately picked December to do that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Scrooge for you guys, because I mean, your guys' Christmas and holidays is, you know, spent thinking about IPSAE.
Yeah,
it's the gift. So,
I know that's my gift to you.
But sir, do you? I mean, I think that's something that folks probably need to hear too. Is like how we're going to be set up for go live. Because from R2, it was kind of like a talk. Like I really don't think a lot of people understand how we get set up for when we go live. So I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit.
We have a pretty large team, but as we do that final training, final testing, most of our team is going to be positioned in different places across the Army as we go live. And then we will straight up have, you know, a talk here running 24-hour ops because of what, right? We have elements throughout the world.
Exactly.
And we'll have a support cell, and then what we also have the help desk, and then folks on the ground across the Army as we go live. So there'll be a lot of support all over the place. And you know, we'll probably focus more heavily at HRC because they have so much that has to go right at HRC to facilitate the rest of the Army. So we'll have a big presence at Fort Knox as we go live. For you guys, it's like a deployment because you'll be somewhere on TY for a while. You know, as we get this thing done, I mean, it's, you know, no easy task. That's probably a safe way to put it.
It won't be easy for anyone.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, but I'm excited. Yeah. But I'm excited though at the same time. So this is hard business. But if anybody knows me, it's like, hey, psh, okay, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Let's go right at it. Yeah, that's kind of my approach, you know, to most things in the Army. It's like, oh, plan, let's be deliberate, and then let's just be aggressive and, like, you know, hit it and go after it and then fix things that need to be fixed. And just own it. You'll hear me that. You'll hear me say that a lot. Just own it, Max. Just own it, Ollie.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Well, what kind of things do we have or are going to put in place throughout the year to help people get ready for go live?
Well, I think the answers are probably mostly in your arena, Marcia, on the training side of the house. Boom. I mean, we got a lot of social media outlets, right? Just about every different, social media thing we're on. And then we're doing a bunch of live training and live events that we're posting on those. So you can see them on Facebook and YouTube and some links off of Twitter and, you know, you name it. And then we have stuff on our website and then also on S1Net, and we push that out. And so I think that's a good starting point. So if you want to understand data correctness, we have a recorded live session for data correctness training for the active Army. And you can go watch that and then, you know, use that live session to shape how you do that work in your unit. Mm-hmm. We'll run an HR summit, what we call an HR summit, in the May timeframe that will really explain all of the HR stuff. Here's the business processes. Here's the legacy systems, how they tie to IPSE and who does work. So first time we've really tried to do that in probably 20 years as a community. And really what we're trying to say is, hey, your 4187 is now a PAR, a personal action request in IPSE. And it's going to flow from here to there. And this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Another easy one is, say you're going to do a mobilization. So the reserve folks show up, they do a mob at the mob site. This is how it flows from the legacy system over into IPSE and then over to the pay system. Mm-hmm. So we'll explain all that. And then you'll get into hardcore, what we call net training for IPSE. In the summer.
Okay.
Like that's all the transactional stuff. How do you set up workflow? Well, if you can't already tell, I find it all exciting. I mean, I'm all geeking out about it.
HR summit, sir. I didn't even know we were using that term, but it sounds so awesome. Like, it's like, hey, are you coming to the summit? It's like, the summit? Like, what summit? Like, you don't know about the summit.
You're like, late.
I mean, it's
so excited.
No, it's like, to think where we are, like, in all of this, it's very,
it's, well, it's we're humbling. Doing, yeah, we're doing more than IPSE. I think that's what you find out. That's probably also, this is probably tied to your first question. You know, one of the misconceptions of this thing is we're just replacing the MLPO.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not. We're actually modernizing the entire thing. So for the first time, we're really trying to lay out all the HR business processes, all the data and how it flows in the HR environment and how IPSE works. And in the middle of that is, right, more transparency, talent management, ties to pay, and analytics, hard-baked analytics in the system, not the analytics at your local station, you know, in Access or Excel. But, you know, hard-baked analytics in the system that help you do your job.
Yeah.
And rolling all this out in the next year, it's a heavy task and there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, it's not going to be 100% clean, but it's all these things are coming together to deliver release 3, you know, in December.
Sir, so appropriate for your current... LA Dodgers World Champion team cap on right now, metaphorically speaking, comparing it to a MLB season, where would you align IPSE's current season progression And then staying with that baseball analogy, what in the future would you consider the Ipsy's World Series victory moment?
Max, were you reading that? I mean,
no, sir.
This is supposed to be like a blow by blow.
You know. You know I can't read.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, man.
So I was just, as an aside, there was one time that I met with General Petraeus at CAC with a bunch of other captains. So, and I said, Hey, General Petraeus, I got like a 5-part question. Let me ask you. And he's just like, Captain Johnson, we only really have time for one question. Five would be a little too much for me.
So polite. So polite.
So please, morph it into one, Captain. I was very humbled, and then I forgot what I asked him, so it wasn't that important.
Not a highlight.
No, I think I asked him a question about a book by Vali Nasser. I'm impressed that you know that I love the Dodgers. They too are the best of breed. So right, best baseball team there is. Just
from, the best, the best there is. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think this is a journey. I don't know. I don't think it's one season. I think we're in multiple seasons. Right, season one was released too, and we won that. We got it out. It's in the guard. And now we're in this like season two, in the middle of tests for release three, headed to putting it out. So, I would say that, we're trying to think through multiple years and, kind of like a dynasty, like the Dodgers, they're like a dynasty, right? They've been to the playoffs the last 9 years in a row or something. Finally won it this last year. That would be release two. And then, right, they're going to win it next year. That's my anticipation. Just like we're going to win it with release three, getting it out to the Army. So, sure. Just keeping it that analogy, I think there's multiple seasons here. What's exciting for me is that, we're going to do a bunch of releases, even between release three and release four, there'll be a bunch of smaller things. Wow. That was probably me finishing. I got to finish my comment.
Yeah. Was it me?
Was that a smoke alarm, Ollie? What was that?
Yes, sir.
You're not just giving me the boot.
I'm not giving you. I promise, I'm not giving you the boot. But I
think someone's getting. Want to
talk about
right
an edit? You want to talk about an edit? I think we have a nice bookmark right here. I'll be right back.
No need to edit anything in this. You just play it.
It's going to put out literal fires.
Just play it. What else you got, Marisha?
Oh, so what is your least favorite thing to do in the Army, sir?
The least favorite thing?
I'm sure you have at least something. HR professionals, there's always something that we're doing that we're like, but.
So you obviously could take this any way you want, right? It's a broad question. I think for me, and I've been in this job a while, right? So going on 5 years, a long time. But I think the least favorite thing that I've had to do in this job and in other jobs is really make the case to change. Mm. I've always been very comfortable with changing for whatever reason. I don't know why. I've always been, Megan always says be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I just have always been okay in that space. Most in the Army are just not on every level, right? Coming into the Army, it was like you had the AG shield on and people would just, automatically think and say certain things to you. And it was just like, hey, we got to change that. I mean, really? And then process and procedure. I don't know how many times I've heard people just say, hey, the reg says this, so that's the way we do it. Or we've always done it this way. It's the way we do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was one of those agitating second lieutenants that would just be like, well, why the heck are we doing that? And I remember multiple times just getting pummeled by captains.
Hey, guy.
That's right. For asking questions like that, So for me, I don't know. If you're not improving your foxhole, if you're not improving your organization, if you're not modernizing or moving the ball down the field, I mean, we can use all kinds of analogies here. You're not busting down the wall to change, then, you know, I don't know. You're essentially dying in place. Mm. That's kind of my view. And I think in the Army, it's such a storied, traditional organization that it has trouble a lot in looking at itself and modernizing. So along here we come with IPSA, I think some of our problems, and maybe it goes to why it's taken so long. It's, you know, we're also trying to convince people that they should modernize. Mm-hmm. They should change the way they've been doing business. And again, you get into these wild disagreements and fights with people because they don't want to change.
Right.
So I think that's probably the worst part of my experience in the Army. You know, my personal experience. But, you know, I've always figured out how to work around it, or, you know, hey, okay, just learn to get yelled at a little bit when you ask a question and someone doesn't really want to answer it, or learned how to maybe navigate a little better and ask the question in a different way, or get allies to the where we're trying to take something first before you drop it on a senior guy. Obviously I'm very committed to the Army and very committed to this program, getting this done for us. It's been very humbling being part of a team with such good folks, you know, getting this thing done. So something pretty exciting at this point in my career being a part of, but it's kind of tied to the thing that's maybe annoyed me the most with the Army too.
Well, I can absolutely understand that, sir. That was a good take on that, because I didn't expect you to answer it that way at first.
Well, what did you think?
I would have said rucking with the javelin too, but
it was a broad question. So.
Yeah,
but that's great.
Yeah, I wasn't in a combat arms unit when I started. I was in the base support battalion in Mannheim in Germany. Ooh. So doing base ops stuff, you know, not the most exciting, work maybe, but it was, I don't know. I learned a lot about casualty ops and in and out processing and, you know, some other basic stuff that I think were good, you know, good building blocks to move on.
Oh, absolutely. I think those OCONUS environments and units, they really do kind of get to dig into some of these more complex issues more than some of us who've been at the States for a while. So I can see that for sure.
Well, Ollie, what's your most annoying thing about the Army?
The most annoying thing about the Army, sir.
And remember, you're being recorded. So
that's better I don't answer that because we are being recorded.
He's gonna say Cap Brugler.
No, actually, you know what? Here's my caveat. I've been waiting for a moment to say this, but honestly, one of the greatest things about being in the Army, to kind of turn it on there, is the fact that we were able to hire folks for data. And now we've got folks from TWI, like Marisha, like Max, that I can work with. And then they hit the ground running and they just go with it. It was really refreshing to have them on the team, because one of the toughest things in the Army is when you have a really big task and you don't have people to your left and your right that can actually, you know, help you with it. Like we all have different things that are our strengths and our weaknesses. And so for a long time, you know, during R2 especially, it was kind of a really heavy push on each individual person, because everybody's rucksack was just huge, right? Like we're carrying so much. And now I think we've been able to lighten the load and we've been able to travel further together, because we have folks that are just coming with their unique talents and they're just going, sir. Like one of my teammates came in that is a part of the team now, and she's just going too. So like, I think we're bringing the right people here. And hopefully that answers your question, sir.
Yeah, that's a nice dodge. I'm okay with it, though.
All right. I tried.
So it's okay. It's a very, very kudos. It's a very good political answer that.
Learn from the best, sir. Learn from the best.
I probably would not have answered that way as a second lieutenant. What else you got, Max?
Sir, being a history major and understanding kind of the evolution of the world, what era would you have liked to live in if you could choose any time period?
That's
yeah, beautiful. Sir. And then on a side note, how do you think you would have been satisfied with the DS HR functions?
Multi-question.
Exactly, Marisha. What I just gave the story of how I was humbled by General Petraeus. Max, you're a little slow on picking up on that.
20-point question here, sir.
That was only one.
I got you.
The other is a bonus.
So I'm pretty boring on the history question because I'm gonna just say it's now. There's no way I want to go back in the 50s or earlier parts of this nation's history for all kinds of reasons. But right now we're in a society that has this open debate right now, which I find exciting. Right. It's what America is about. So that, and then being part of the Army and how the Army is striving to represent the nation and then do the nation's missions, in this particular time, I don't know. I'm just very proud of that ability to be part of that. So I wouldn't change the time frame at all. I grew up in California in the 70s and the 80s. So that, again, it's kind of a right time as California had a great educational system set up, up and down, the state. I don't think I change, from my perspective today. I mean, we're in the right spot. And we're doing some pretty awesome stuff in the Army. And so that's, I don't think that's a dodge, but I forgot the second part of your 16-point question.
Don't worry about it.
I thought we were talking about favorite HR tasks, right?
Well, it was, yeah. It's supposed to be, if you would have picked a different era, how do you envision your job currently back in that time frame? But yeah.
Well, yeah, if I was in the 50s, it'd be with punch cards, but we'd be trying to figure out, how to do analytics via punch card, and it'd be difficult.
Oh, wow.
It'd be difficult. Well, part of it is maybe change management. I've been doing a lot of reading on, innovation over the last, three, 6 months. And a lot of that innovation is about setting up teams and then providing the right environment to be aggressive and go after and innovate. I've read a book about Bell Labs and how they set that up. I've read books about how we've set up the initial kind of Silicon Valley companies. And a lot of that is you brought really smart, innovative, aggressive folks together, and then you provide a vision, from the leadership, and then you go after it. Mm-hmm. So there's time periods just in the last 50 years where you've really seen that here in America. And then really have seen some leaps in technology, on the civilian side that really shaped how we're living today and where we're going to, jump next. In the Army, I kind of see the SIPSA team and some folks at HRC and at Futures Command, they're kind of trying to do the same thing, right? Create a cross-functional team with talent, get the right folks in the mix, and then let the smart people and the experts do the talking, right? Not necessarily some colonel who doesn't know data do the talking. Let the smart folks do the talking and drive where we're going, as long as it's linked to a vision. For me, that's the most exciting thing, imaginable. Being a second lieutenant and asking questions and getting hammered, to being part of a team that's really talking to the senior leaders about how do we modernize IT and data so we can get to a spot where we're really efficient and really unlocking the talents of our Army. I don't know. For me, that doesn't get much more exciting than that. And then being challenged by, you know, like you guys all the time.
It's a real collaborative effort. You know, I think there's so many people with different, perspectives and experiences. And when we're all gathered together working on a situation or a problem set, you get some really interesting answers and solutions. So it's definitely an environment for that.
Agreed.
Yeah. What better moment to do a TWI or to, attack data on the system? I mean, there's a lot of positivity there, I think. I think you guys are exhausted. I've answered most of your questions.
You've done a great job, sir.
Yeah. You would get if I'm winning.
I don't know if I'm winning, but I'm answering.
Ipsy's winning, sir. That's all that matters.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I've been told winning matters.
Well, this sounds like a good point to wrap things up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. This was a hard-fought battle of captains asking questions, but it's time to declare our winner. Was it Colonel Greg Hurricane Johnson, Captain Marissa Superstar McLean, Ollie the Talent Akani, or Max Maximum Force Brugler? The answer is you, the audience, because you got to listen through this podcast. Hey, we provide you with the best and latest news from the Integrated Personnel Pay System Army. Thanks for joining us. Why do we do it? Because you and your soldiers need to be prepared for the change coming to HR, finance, personnel actions, and to the total force. If you haven't done a scrub of your records yet for data correctness, now's an excellent time to take that action. Please follow us on social media to learn more. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and join us again next month.
Right soldier, right job, right on time. 24/7, 365.